sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, just salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgren. I'm with us this week, back for another episode. So, like a year and a half later, it's Steve Venegas.
Yes, I'm now a father. Was I a father last time?
You were not. You were anticipating.
Your wife was about to pop.
Yeah, now.
She popped.
Yeah, she did. She, big time.
Pop goes the Lauren.
Making a splash.
Making a baby.
And now we have a little baby.
Yeah, she's like a little toddler now.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I'm used to calling her a baby, and I'm saying, like, oh, I'm a baby. But then she's walking around.
She's a baby.
She has opinions. Like,
she
decides
what they don't count for anything yet, though.
You think that? Like, she doesn't vote, but at the same time, it's like, oh, here you go. She's like, no, I don't want this. I'm like, well, you're not doing that. I'm like, she really does. She is a fiery Latina, and I'm terrified of her.
Perfect. So a lot has happened since last you were with us.
A lot of life happened to me.
A whole lot of life. Mm. Too much life, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we're like, so had I already moved or no? No.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. It wasn't, didn't Izzy get borned when you were still in that little apartment downtown?
So yeah, we were in an apartment downtown.
With two dogs and a baby.
We had a beautiful two-bedroom apartment.
The wistfulness in your eyes.
Oh, it was so nice. Windows, views, there was a pool and a gym. I was in shape. And then our landlord, who purchased the place and said, yeah, you guys can live here for years. He's Peruvian, which really... You know,
you thought you had it.
I thought I had it because, like, up here, we're all just one gente and we're watching out for each other.
I'm sorry, you're one what? Because in Japanese, that means something very different.
With a G. Gente, we're one people. All of us. Down there, hard lines. The borders are very, very, very definite. And there's an ongoing thing in South America. Like, Chileans, Ecuadorians don't get along with Peruvians. It's just a thing. Up here, you know.
You're all one people.
We're all Latino. And then I was like, all right, cool. They got this Latino landlord. He's going to be watching out for us. I met his best friend at a comedy show. He's like his best friend at his comedy. He was at the first Cinco de Mayo show run by Hector Rivas.
Nice.
And I was like, cool. Yeah, we're in. He's like, yeah, you guys can live here years and stuff. And I was like, awesome. And then 3 months after my daughter's born, he's like, yeah, I got to move in. I'm moving into the apartment. You guys got to leave.
Oh,
like,
no.
Dude. So my daughter's a child, like, as they tend to be, but she's very small. And then we had to move during the worst time to rent anything in Vancouver in, like, history. So now we're in a one-bedroom apartment in the, like, I say the butt end of Kitsilano. It's awful.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and, oh, and then I had cancer.
God, Vancouver real estate's still pretty fucking bad.
At least
I mean, you had testicular cancer. That's much more curable than our rental situation.
Yeah, it's really the Diet Coke of cancers.
Like, Coke's the nut zero of cancer.
I was thinking it really speaks to, like, the male experience, that, like, the most one of the most male cancers you can have is also, like, the easiest. It's like, of course it is. Like, you feel any very female cancer, you're like, ooh, you know, it's nice knowing you, but now, like, this, it's like, oh, yeah, you'll be fine. I'll see you in, like, 6 weeks. Yeah. Which is pretty much what happened to me. But yeah, it was awful. Mm-hmm. It was existential.
So scary.
It was super scary, yeah. If you want to, do you want to jump into it?
Yeah. Oh, let's just leap right in.
Yeah, so...
ball first, baby later. That's also how you made the baby.
That's pretty much if you like her timeline, you know?
Yeah.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Oh my gosh.
And also, like, a part of me is like, which one did she come from? Is that the one we got rid of?
Anyway. You'll
like,
never
I think
know.
I think about that.
She never gets to visit her childhood home. Oh,
Christ. Never wistful, like that Madonna song starts playing, like, this used to be my playground. No, not anymore. It was back in May. And I thought, it's currently the end of October, which is why I'm wearing a Star Trek The Next Generation uniform. I thought this was the Halloween episode.
Bless you.
In case that's not coming across via audio.
We can take a picture if you want.
It will last longer.
Yeah.
That was the nerdiest face you've ever made.
Yeah. You should see me at Fan Expo. I don't take it off for 2 days. So then, yeah, it was the
end. Mine has that authentic scent to it.
It was gifted to me. So it was like the middle of May, and I noticed things were asymmetrical. It wasn't like it was atypical. Like usually there's a bump or a lump, something that you're like, that shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm. You're listing to port.
Yeah. Kinda. I was like, what's going on? But for me, like one of them just took on like a different dimension. Like it wasn't the usual tangible squishiness that I expect. It was dense. I was like, this feels like a hard-boiled egg. That's not how it's been. And I told Lauren, and she used to work at the Canadian Cancer Society, and oh, wow. So she's a lay expert. Her sister had passed away from cancer 2 years ago, mm-hmm. So we're kind of hypersensitive. And she's like, if it's still like this in 3 days, we'll just go to the doctor. I'm like, okay, cool. So 3 days pass, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. Go to the walk-in, because this is
Vancouver.
Nobody has a family doctor.
I'm really glad that you took her advice. And I've been trying to get my partner to go to the dentist for years.
You should, like, you know, if he's, yeah, like, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, okay. So, like, she had to tell me to not go to the doctor. I need to go tonight. She's like, if it's in 3 days, then go. Like, smart. don't freak out. Mm.
So, walk-in
clinic. I actually thought I had throat cancer, like, the week after Adam Yacht died. I was like, because your lymph nodes swell when you have a cold.
Yeah.
I didn't have any cold symptoms, and my lymph node was swollen for a week. I was like, I have throat cancer. It's in the air. That's what's happening. The doctor's like, you're fine. Get out of here.
Get out.
Leave. So,
sometimes, you know, things can happen to your nards if you're sick, because that's all, like, very close to lymph nodes and mm-hmm. stuff, so.
Yeah, so, like, that's why we were like, well, it's not a very typical thing, so that's why we were alert, but not, mm-hmm. you know, sounding any alarms yet. So I went to the walk-in, and the doctor never met me before. Some guy with glasses. He was like, well, let's take a look at it. And I'm like, sure. So dropped trow, and he gave a look under the hood. And he's like, well, I don't know what that is. And I was like, this is cool. Great. That's this is reassuring. What I want to hear. Yeah. He's like, huh. It doesn't hurt. I'm like, no. And he's like, doesn't do this? I'm like, no. Doesn't none of the usual symptoms? I'm like, no. He's like, well, could be a number of things. We're going to get you to go in for a sonogram, like a ultrasound. Mm-hmm. Like, cool. So I had to wait another week and a half. During that time, it wasn't getting better. It was now starting to swell. Mm-hmm. It was growing fast. This isn't right. This is not good.
Oh my Lord.
We need a solution. So, go to the sonogram, and it's a nice middle-aged man, who's
lubing you up.
Greases me up, gets the little thing, and he's on it for like 10 minutes, and I'm holding everything else out of the way, and he's just like, not talking to me the whole time. It's like dim in there. It's a very
strange
experience.
They're not like allowed to talk to you, really, like, because I've had a bunch of ultrasounds, and like having, you're trying to ask like, oh, what do you see? Is it anything weird? They're like, I'm not allowed to say, it's only for your doctor, like, and so they just like don't make conversation. They're just trying to be very professional. Yeah. But it's disconcerting. I don't like it.
It's like, because you know, lady or dude, you know.
Yeah, you definitely want to hear, like, just which way is it going? It's like, so, you know, what do we think?
Is it good or bad? Good or bad? I can't tell you.
Yeah, and I'm trying to, like...
You're like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the map, which looks like an x-ray of, I want to say...
Your ball?
Of Lordaeron. Like, just this strange topographical area. Like, I'm seeing rivers and mountains, and like, I don't understand any of this.
Aren't we all just trying to paint multitudes?
You're trying to paint with all the colors of the wind.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I don't get this. So this is the 20, I'm not going to say the exact day, but this is like the last week of May. Okay. The day before my daughter's birthday. It was a Friday. And then...
First birthday.
And then the guy's like, okay, well, you're going to hear from your doctor in a couple days, on Monday. I'm like, cool. I can deal with the weekend, and then Monday is when we'll find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, next day, Saturday, daughter's birthday, we have, like, this big party planned in the backyard. There's going to be, like, 40 people there. We have, like, this big taco bar out, which I felt was kind of racist. I was like, should I be doing this? But I love tacos.
It was your idea.
It was my idea. I was like, yeah. This is the easiest way to feed a lot of people.
It sounds damn delicious and very practical. It was like, amazing. What's the problem?
But at the same time, like, if I serve that, I know that somebody's like, yeah, of course you would. I'm like, no, of course I wouldn't. It's just so good.
It's just like cabbage rolls. And
it's delicious. If anything, it just would have been ceviche.
Just a big bowl of raw shrimp.
Everybody loves it. It's something for everyone.
Yeah,
kids,
everybody loves
grown-ups,
ceviche.
Who doesn't love ceviche? So I was getting more spices and ground beef at Safeway, and I get a phone call from a number I don't recognize. I'm like, oh, maybe it's one of the guests. So I pick it up, And it's the clinic. It's the walk-in. It's like, yeah, you need to come in for more tests. This is based on your sonogram. It's like, and I know that's shorthand for you. You have cancer? Mm-hmm. And so,
calling on a Saturday, too.
Yeah, no one calls on Saturdays. So then, you know, like, time slows down. I'm like, how bad is it? Can you tell? She's like, we can't tell, but you need to come in. I was like, do we need to come in today or can I do this tomorrow? Because it's my daughter's birthday. And she's like, today or tomorrow won't change anything. So I came home, told Lauren, weeped in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And she's like, do you want to cancel the party? I said, no, this is the last like normal day we'll be able to have. So let's still do the party. I feel physically the same as I did this morning, which is, you know, uncomfortable, but manageable. Mm-hmm. And so everybody came, didn't tell anyone. Nobody knew. I think maybe two people at the party knew.
But something was up or you told them what was going on?
That something was up. Because, mm-hmm. like, Lauren was sharing it with a couple of people because she needs to be able to tell people, mm-hmm. so that she can help process and handle it. And I don't have a lot of close friends, so I think the only people that knew were people that Lauren told. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I even told John at the time. No. Maybe I did. I forget. I think John knew. So the party went great. It was like I was able to not think about it for a day. And then
they were focused on how racist the tacos were.
Yeah. They were like, what is with this? Like, well, see, here's the thing. I'm a traitor. I just love Mexico. It's delicious. The whole country. And so then, like, the next day we went to the doctor, and we have Izzy with us. Doctor comes in. This is, again, at the walk-in. And she's like, okay, first thing I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be fine. And so, like, okay, I'm, like, you know, raw nerve. She's like, but it's not going to be fun for the next few months. Mm-hmm. But you will be fine. It's, like, the most treatable type. You know, there is a mass. It's growing. It's in the inside. It's, like, developed. It's vascular. Like, there are veins coming out of it, which isn't great. Mm-mm. So we need to take care of this as soon as possible. Like, okay, cool. Like, tomorrow? When? She's like, well, first you need to meet your oncologist and surgeon, and then the urologist, and then you're going to have the surgery. So, like, in, like, next week or two. I'm like, I love the vagaries. This is terrific. So then, because it's a walk-in clinic, they're like, if you don't hear from anybody by Wednesday, give us a call. I'm like, give you a call? This is, like, I'm supposed to be following up?
Yeah.
So I didn't hear from anybody by Wednesday. So I drove down to the clinic, because it's supposed to be open till 5. And it was closed, because there weren't enough doctors to work the late shift.
Oh, God.
I was there at 4. It closed at, like, 2. And that's when I felt alone in a chaotic, uncaring universe.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, this is horrible. So we have one of our friends, she's like a medical researcher at VGH. Mm-hmm. And Lauren was telling her what was going on with that runaround. She's like, oh, well, here's what you need to do. Because the walk-in just had me going, like, we're sending a fax to, like, one doctor. They need to send it to the entire unit. So, like, multiple doctors looking at it so I can get the first person to look at it.
Right.
So my friend, I sent her a copy of the form. She got it to the top of the pile so that they were able to, like, get...
Holy God.
Because we don't have a GP, I had to, like, you know, use networking to, see a doctor soon.
Referrals through walk-in clinics are abysmal. It's awful.
So, managed to get, like, the appointment lined up and met my urologist surgeon. He's like, all right, you're going to have the surgery, like, in like, a week. I'm like, cool. So, at this point, I think it was, like, a couple days later. Mm-hmm. So now it's like 2 weeks of me just having cancer, mm-hmm. at this point. I'm like, okay, fine. Yeah, as soon as possible. So I went into work before I had surgery because I had taken a couple days off for like sick days. And then I went in and I was like, I just couldn't handle it. I can't just be here, mm-mm. waiting.
Trying to like do your job like everything's normal. Yeah.
So I needed to get off work and for that age of short-term disability. So I had to go into the clinic again. And it was some, like, Doogie Howser doctor came in this time. He's like, so, Steven? And I was like, yeah, that's me. He's like, why are you here? And I was like,
I have cancer.
Yeah, got a little bit of cancer.
Yeah, spot of the old cancerino.
Not on your file or anything like that. No notes about that at all. Same clinic? No, yeah,
Did you read it information before sharing. You came in? So then I told him, I was like, oh, so what do you want? I was like, want to not go to work? And he's like, so what do you need? I was like, a note. He was like, oh, okay. So what do you think you're going to get back? I'm like, I don't know. When I don't have cancer anymore? He was like, oh, okay. And so, you know, he was giving me the attitude.
Doogie.
He was like, thanks there, pal. Like, it's just, I don't like being helped by anyone. I feel like I could have babysat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's something I have to get over because, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, so it's like...
There will be medical professionals that are younger than you.
Which doesn't make sense.
No.
Like, you can't be in charge. I'm not in charge.
I hate walk-in clinics so much. I once went and asked for just... All I asked for was a referral to a dietitian because I had the money, like, in my, like, benefits to go see a dietitian. And they were like, well, see, if you want to lose weight, you got to replace the bad food with the good exercise. I was like, thank you, Dr. Tran. That's really helpful. Thank you. I'm a 30-year-old woman. This is, yeah, I've never heard that before. Never had this conversation. Never really looked into the diet industry in any capacity. Fucking idiot.
Eat less and move more?
Thanks, Hal Johnson and Joanne McLeod. When did you open up your own practice?
I didn't recognize you without the mustache.
You're not in tracksuits. I have to be forgiven for this. Anyway.
I really wish they went further in The Amazing Race Canada because that was the only time I've watched that show.
I didn't realize they were in it. They're
really married and it's the cutest thing ever.
It's super adorable. Yeah. They had to deal with racism when they got married.
Yeah. So cute.
Isn't that great?
The cutest problem you can have is racism.
Yeah, so like they talk about it in public now. Like that's why nobody knew that they were a couple at the time. You just thought like, oh, these guys are just like
they love fitness together.
Yeah, they're just super good buds that love to help stretch each other out.
Just like they men should always coordinate their fanny packs.
Aw.
I don't know if that's true. I was just speculating.
Oh.
Aw. I don't know the ins and outs of Hal and Joanne's relationship.
Isn't Hal Johnson one of the Green Lanterns? No, it's Hal Jordan.
Fuck off. So back to your nut.
So back to the bad one.
Back to the bad seed.
The bad newt. So, so then I got off work and I was at home just, you know, waiting for surgery to happen, playing video games and reading Terry Pratchett. So that was...
Good choices, though. Yeah,
I just thought I really wanted something of like a long series. I was like, I might be off work for like 6 months. I was like, I need something that I can just, you know, jump into. And there's like 45 Discworld books or something.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
Most they're of them jolly. Pretty lighthearted, yeah.
So much fun. So I ended up reading like the first one, Color of Magic, and then the second one, Light Fantastic.
And... You just list the whole bibliography.
And since then, I've also read Mort, and I'm halfway through Good Omens, which is a co-pro
with Neil Gaiman. It's a great book.
A friend of mine said, it's like, yeah, it's like Gaiman wrote the plot, but Pratchett wrote the jokes. And it's like, yeah, that's totally how it reads.
Yeah, it
for
is.
For everyone at home.
Facts. Great dudes.
This has been an edition of Sea Hag's Book Club. Special guest.
And, so I was just chilling out and trying not to dwell on the fact that I have this mass on me.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, you feel like a coyote with your leg in a trap. You just want to, like, if I could have cut it off myself, I totally would have. Like, just get rid of it. But we don't have garden shears. And so
you don't got any Novocaine.
Couldn't do any of that.
No hot anything to cauterize with, too, because that's, you know, you don't want to be bleeding out on your bathroom floor.
Yeah, I wish I had gotten into, like, home electronics, like a soldering kit.
It's like now your nutsack lights up when you press a 9-volt to it.
Yeah, there's a couple crystals in there now.
Some light-emitting diodes.
I pick up the... It picks up the CBC. Anyway. After the long dash, that's pretty much all I have now is a pause and a long dash. What's that even mean?
I don't know. Guys. Sending out another SOS to your nut. Anyway. So then
it was, you know, time for surgery. And here's the thing about testicular cancer is that you don't know the stage or the grade until after surgery.
Mm.
So you said, okay, you have cancer, wait for surgery, you have to have surgery, then you wait for the biopsy, which is another week or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be like a month where you're just like, you have cancer. We don't know where else it is.
Oof.
Good luck.
Yeah.
So during the lead up to the surgery, I had like a CT scan, which was like, it's one of those big Akira type machines mm-hmm. where they find out that I'm actually like, you know, going to blow up Neo Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And they like, here's something that was super weird. When you take a CT...
They shoot you full of dye.
Yeah, like they put a dye in you. And what made no sense, she's like, all right, you're going to taste garlic. And I was like, what? And it's not going in my mouth. She's like, no, you're going to feel warm. It's going to feel like you wet your pants. And you're going to taste garlic. So
what is in this dye that's really scary?
Garlic and pants pissing juice, obviously.
It's like, that hasn't happened to me since I used to get drunk at an Italian restaurant.
They're going to just put your hand in a bowl of warm water as well while you're in the CT scan and just...
Shout out to Luciano's Little Italian Grill. R.I.P.
The restaurant or Luciano? Both.
Not so lucky. So the dye, you feel it warming into your veins as it radiates from where it was inside.
So you feel like you're in your origin story, basically. Kind of, yeah.
So then, the heat radiates, and then it gets to the back of your throat. And then that's when it tastes like kind of metallic, kind of garlic, which is super weird. And then it's your whole face, and then your lips feel hot, and then...
It feels like you pissed your
pants. Then it gets down to your waist, and that's when you're like, it feels warm. Which is why I don't use the seat heater in our Honda, because that really throws me off.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I agree. I hate that feeling. I hate seat warmers so much.
It's just like incontinent.
Yeah.
What?
Now? On top of everything else?
Bad break.
Yeah.
So they scan it. They don't tell me anything what's going on, because that's, you know, part of the things they get. Get a ton of blood drawn. In this week leading up. And then I have the surgery. And the night before the surgery, I'm not supposed to eat anything except drink apple juice. And then the morning, chug more apple juice. Something about having a lot of simple sugars helps you recover from the general anesthetic really well. Oh, and during the lead up to this, I went on a ketogenic diet.
Okay.
Which is you cut out just about all carbs and sugar from your diet. Because there is strong research, and new research was just published like last week, that cancers can't process fat, they can only process sugar. So sugars actually give cancer cells more energy to grow and multiply. Mm-hmm. But if you're only if your body is now in a ketonal state where it's only processing fat for energy, you're essentially starving the cancer cells in your body.
Right.
So they're in a dormant state where they can't do much.
Mm-hmm.
So because they didn't know my grading or anything.
They just want to try to slow it as much as possible. Or if there's any potential for spreading, like.
And this was self-directed too. This was like on me. And Lauren and our friend in the VGH, they both were like privy to the same studies.
Right.
So we did it. And it was great because it's all like bacon and eggs for breakfast. And a lot of pep and ched. A lot of leafy greens. But I was just, almonds. It was pretty good. I was eating like a trucker and like losing weight at the same time. I was like, hey, is this the ketogenic diet or am I dying?
I don't know. Oh, God.
So
part of it. I look good, though.
I was like, yeah, I'm not exercising, but I look shredded. is this what it's like to be blessed? I was doing that and I had to break keto the next day for the surgery. Went into the surgery and it's weird going into a day surgery like that because in the wait, you go from the main waiting room to the second waiting room and you're getting processed. And it was a morning surgery. It was 8 a.m. So we had to check in at 7. And everyone's 20 years older than me. It's weird being in that place because it feels like you're not supposed to be there yet. There's all these sad old couples as opposed to a sad young couple and a baby. This doesn't make sense. So we get in and... And then we're in the second waiting room, and all of these sort of co-op cashier type women, lovely henny women who just the kind you want to get a hug from,
I love that.
Bosomy.
Yeah. Bosomy, they probably
make. Hella powdery.
Yes. Right. They probably have a Newfoundland accent, even though they're not from the island.
They make cold plates for you at the church picnic.
They're always saying how skinny you look.
Oh, you look too skinny, honey.
It's oh, here, you eat some more of this. I'm oh, thank you, Mrs. Power. Shout out, Matt Power. Newfie guy I grew up with. He was the best. His dad, Ed and Marguerite. And he used to party at their house. And so everyone's getting their nurses calling their names. And then I get, he was a WestJet flight attendant. He was
a peppy gay.
Running, not peppy, but energetic. He had a little bit too much mustard in everything he was delivering. It was door opens up, guy with interesting glasses steps out. He's like, okay, whoever, Stephen Eggers, you can come in. You can come in with your spouse or partner or friend. If you don't have a friend, I'll be your friend. I'm like, this is fun. Where are the exits? So then I was like, yeah, I'm Steve. This is my wife. This is my daughter. They come with me. He's like, well, let me meet you on the next side because you have a baby and there's stuff so you can touch and there's a lot of hospital things. Maybe it's not the best word. I'm like, okay, I understand your logic. I'm like, okay. So, act drop for a second. I'm talking to a person. Cool. And then We come on the other side of the door, and it's like I'm being processed. It was like Orange is the New Black. He hands me like a stack of clothes. He's like, take off your shoes, take off your socks, take off your underwear, put this on.
Squat down and cough.
And he's like just talking at me. And I do this passive aggressive thing where if I think someone's being a real jerk, I don't say anything to them. I'll just like, if they're asking for my response, like a yes or no question, I will pause for too long and stare at them and smile.
Yes.
And then I'll say yes with a nod. And, like, they know that I'm not happy. I think. I don't know. It's
passive.
It's super passive aggressive.
But like, I think my point's being made.
I'd like to think the way that I'm smiling is mean somehow.
They're just, like, really communicating.
Is this just a Hispanic smile, or does this guy hate me?
Is he just, like, slow on the uptake and he's processing it? So then, like, So right away, like, I do not like this guy. Like, I want a comment card. Like, this is not good. So then, there's a bit more. Oh, yeah. And then I have to do, like, a questionnaire. Like, he starts asking me stuff. He's like, do you drink? Do you smoke? I'm like...
No. I'm straight fucking edge.
Yeah, it was great. I was like, no, I don't. Thank you. Ask for how many years? 12. And then, and so then he's like, what'd you eat for breakfast? He's like, did you eat anything for breakfast? And I was like, well, I had a glass of orange juice. He said, did you eat anything for breakfast? And I said, oh... No, I didn't.
Oh,
it's like, well, what'd you have to drink? I'm like, a glass of apple juice or whatever. And then he's like, see, like, as though I'm, you know, being difficult.
I hate this man.
Me
so
too.
Much.
I want to go back in time and just like.
The worst. So then like.
As if it's not already unpleasant enough.
Yeah, like. Really, that was
you
the worst
Sarah,
part of my day.
Like, the human version of a Sarah McLachlan song should be spiriting you through this.
As opposed to this guy.
As opposed to this WestJet flight attendant. Let's get this Boeing going.
Oh, God, it was so...
Out weird. Of your body, because it's cancer.
Wait, can we speed this up, please? I'm not here for you. I'm here for me. So now I'm in my scrubs. I'm in, like, this special waiting room where they're, like... And I'm just, it's like a dentist chair. I'm going to get wheeled over into like the operating room in a second. They put a big blanket on me. It's very warm, which was nice. Like it came out of a dryer.
I love blanket warmers at hospitals.
Oh,
that's my
so
favorite.
Oh, good. I was like, how do we do this? Can I do this at home?
I actually looked up because I was a doula for a while. And so like you'd hang out in the hospital and just like, my job was often to fetch warm blankets from the blanket warmer. I would like get some for me too.
Just, like, like
cuddle up in the chair. And I started looking on eBay for, like, used blanket warmers from, like, hospital supply, whatever. They're not that expensive. You probably could get one for your house.
Or you just put it in the dryer.
No, but it's, like, it's, like, a closet. You just open it up, and it's hot rolled towels. It's so good.
I love rolled
so
towels.
So good.
I love rolled towels. I'm all about rolled towels now. Some people are like, fold it three times. Like, no, if you roll the towel, when you take out any of the towels, it doesn't disturb any of the other towels.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm changing my life today.
Start rolling it.
Start rolling.
It doesn't work, though, if you don't have a chin, because it's like, how do you hold the towel?
Oh, anyway. I got a chin. I got a serious chin.
You got a nice jawline.
And listener, she does.
Let no one put asunder, I got a jowl.
No chin plant for you.
No, this is very real. It looks like someone cut a racquetball in half and stuck it on my face. Schluck! It's just like suctioned on there. It's just a little... Anyway, please, continue with the horrible man.
So, my name is Steve, by the way. Horrible man.
continue with the horrible nurseman.
Oh, that guy.
The horrible nurseman.
Okay. Dr. Nurseman, please. Dr. Nurseman's my father. I never graduated.
My name is Fuckface.
So Lauren and Izzy meet me in like my warm blanket room. And Lauren's like, hey, how's it going? I was like, this guy's awful. She's like, what? And I was like, started complaining about him because I was a waiter and I really appreciate customer service. And like, for one, and then she's like, how about we don't complain right before you go into surgery? I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. All right, get into a better headspace. And so then, as I'm hanging out there with Lauren and Izzy, like, everyone who's going to be in the operation comes in and is like, oh, here's John, the anesthesiologist. Here's nurse number one.
They're all
nurse
doing their bows two. Before the performance even begins.
And he's like, I studied at Juilliard. I'm like, oh.
That's not good. That's not what I need for this.
I've heard of him.
It's like, I'm extremely good at playing the violin. Like, yeah, how are you with surgery? Out of curiosity.
But how are you at playing the organ?
I have my a pianist's organ. Hands. Have you ever studied medicine for like a second?
So then, my oncologist, my urologist surgeon comes in and is like, hey, good to see you again. He's like, yeah, it's going to be this. It's going to take about this long. I got a good feeling about this. Great team. Worked with these people before. I'm like, right on. I don't know how any of this works, I sort of kind of felt like a NASCAR. Like, I'm just going to get wheeled into the room.
And they're all just like,
do different things. So then I get, I go into the room after a few minutes and everybody's there. They're waiting for me. And it's nice. It's a nice, it's like a surprise party.
Like, hey, Steve.
Yeah. So they opened the door and I was expecting that kind of response. Didn't get it, but I did respond as though I did. I was like, hey, everybody.
Have they put anything into your body at this point?
No, not yet. Okay. So then like, let's do it. Sit down. I'm like, okay, I'll sit down.
So you have cancer.
here's you have double plus cancer.
No.
No, I only have single minus cancer.
That's so much better.
Which is primo. So then I'm get put in, put under. I'm told to count back from like a million or something. And then
you're like, it's not going to work. And then two numbers and you're gone.
So they're like, the doctor's like, okay, the anesthesiologist is like, all right, going to put this in. And it's going to feel like you've had a drink. And then I just wanted to say, like, I haven't had a drink in 12 years. Like, oh, it does feel like I've had a drink. Like, I remember this feeling. Oh, I miss this. A little bit too much. That's one reason why I don't drink.
Because it feels so good.
So I lost count at somewhere between corduroy and velvet. And then I wake up. And it's just like waking up from a nap. You're just like,
who took my nap?
So I woke up. I wake up. As I'm being wheeled to my, you know, my parking spot, wherever they're going to put me, which is where I'm supposed to be sleeping for, like, they expected me to sleep for, like, another hour and a half or something. Mm-hmm.
They put you under one of those, like, quilts that are made out of bubbles and stuff like that?
Ooh, yeah, it was nice. Yeah. I was like, I felt like it was going to be, like, shipped off somewhere. Like, just, like, package wrapped. And so I wake up as I'm being rolled, and then I was like, which is how I wake up. I wake up from any nap as though I had just been underwater.
Like someone's just finished saying the incantation properly. Yeah.
Which, if you ask Lauren, I sleep like a vampire because I don't.
Oh,
move.
I picture that. When I thought about you sleeping, I thought about it like fully arms crossed over the chest, like rising, like fully.
Yeah. It was like Undertaker after like a 2.5 count.
Yeah. That's a wrestling reference, and I got it.
I also got it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Text me, and I'll send you the GIF. So then, like, I wake up, and they're like, oh, you're awake. And then, because it's just part of, like, the way I respond to things, they're like, wow, you came too really quickly. That was surprising. And they said, clean living. And they're like, okay, how do you feel? How do you feel now? And then the first thing I said after clean living was, like, there was this nurse. And I did not like this nurse.
you held a grudge all through surgery.
I woke up angry. And then they're like, oh, was it this? What's his name? I was like, I don't remember his name. I was like, did he have glasses? Like, yes. Like, okay, yeah, we know about him. I was like, thank you for letting us know. So, you know, apparently he's got a file. So then, like, Lauren comes in. I had to wait, like, a bit for Lauren because she was off getting coffee or something because they told her it was going to be, like, an hour and a half. And
yeah.
I woke up really quick. And I'm still a bit groggy, which is to say, like, doped up. I didn't feel, like, drunk or stoned or anything. I just felt super tired.
Yeah.
You know, like, that half asleep mm-hmm. where everything's pretty funny. So
yeah,
I was...
like, drunk and stoned, kind of.
I wouldn't know. It's been 12
clean
years.
Clean living.
It's been 12 years.
Clean living. It's been 12 years clean living.
Really, really good constitution.
I'm not clean living, and I'm so far no cancer, so...
That's a lot of people said to me. They're like, so are you going to start drinking? I'm like, no.
No.
Imagine how bad it would have been if I was drinking. I got cancer 6 years ago. So I came to, Lauren's there, then we go home. And
same day? You know.
Same day. Like, it was 11 o'clock, and I was distressed.
It's kind of like pretty much about the same level as having your wisdom teeth out, yeah. Kind of, in terms of like how traumatic the surgery is for your body.
Pretty much. It's just like they put you under, take it out, now there's
you just
know,
go like right through the gaping sack, hole. Right?
Oh, no.
Oh, no?
Nuh-uh.
I'm like, during the farm. That's how you,
I what the doctor wish. Would say. Like, if we were on the farm, yes. That's probably how they do it.
Yeah.
Like, but because they needed to, like, keep a grip or something on my lymph nodes mm-hmm. down there. So they actually had to go, like, in between some muscles around.
Did they go through the inguinal canal?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Well, I know about
it. Is that near Panama?
Yeah.
Okay.
there's a slightly less popular Van Halen song about it. Inguinal canal. Anyway, it's like a direct line from I was gonna show you on you. That's rude. Both, like, all gendered people have it, but in people with, like, XY chromosomes, it's much bigger, and that's where your testicles drop from, when you're a baby or
is
a child.
Is that kind of what makes the cum gutters?
Sure.
Sure it is. The little cuts in the muscles.
No, those are their muscles. The canal is, like, up in you.
The bees.
It's up in you. That's just bones and muscle. No. They could have had to go in through that little... The little room area.
I thought I had that going on one time, like, because I was lifting a lot of weight. And I was like, hey, what's this? Got some shadows right here. All right. I was just getting a gut because I was eating too much. So I was, like, just, I had a big chest and big arms.
Yeah.
But I just also had, like, this pot belly on me.
Because you were so hungry because you were lifting so much.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. So I thought I was actually getting, like, those lines before
but
any of the
other
ones.
It was just a shadow from your belly.
I was like, hey, look at this. No, it did not look good.
It probably looked okay.
Gorilla gut going on. So it was, I think it was, actually, now that you bring it up, now that you've described it as that, I remember my surgeon saying that. So, like, you know, they had to, like, you know, pry that down, get in there, pull it out.
With their bare hands,
with their
as you've demonstrated.
Hand, just getting
they
right
got
in
one
there.
Of those little pickle grabber things.
Yeah, it was, like, just grabbing.
Little fingies.
Just grabbing a pickle at the bottom. It was more like a pickled egg.
Yeah. Like a really big pickle
It was
egg.
That black one that nobody wants at the bottom.
In Moe's jar.
Yeah, that's exactly what they got out of me.
And the bad egg. un huevo malo is going to be the name of this episode.
Mi huevo es muy malo. No me gusta mi huevo. Por favor, sácalo huevo.
This is the best podcast about cancer ever.
So then they take it out, and I go home. I have to sleep. I'm, like, bedridden for, like, 2 days, which is hard because Izzy just, she was scooting around. She's not quite walking yet, but she's, like, propping herself up and, like, you know, shimming around the bed and everything. And
wanting to just jump on you all the time.
Her face is the best.
Oh, she's got a great face.
She's got a great face. Cute baby.
She's super fun.
She's a mugger. She's mugging in every picture. She's got this big old grin.
Super expressive. And now, like, this is bad for a podcast, but I'm just bringing up a picture of a baby.
Chris likes babies.
Yeah, oh, let's take a pause to look at cute babies.
Yeah, let's take a little break to look at cute babies, and we'll come back to your nards after.
Aw, look at her face.
She's so cute.
Little raincoat.
Yeah, she's a sweetie.
Okay, we can go back.
Are you one
of those parents that's like, oh, I miss her already. It's been like 20 minutes. I gotta look at a picture of her now.
I do. I miss her when she's not around. Mm-hmm. Like, I really do.
Yeah.
But then when we're hanging out, I'm like, what do you want to do? Like, just figure it out. Every 10 seconds, it's a new thing. It's like, oh, I gotta touch this now. I'm like, hey, Izzy, I'm really into linear storytelling.
Stick with something for a while.
We're past the page with the baby hippo. We're onto baby sloths. Then we got to go back to baby hippo. I'm like, Izzy, we're not going to find out what baby's at the end of this book.
Is it a mirror at the end of the book?
Actually, we have a book like that.
Yeah, where it's like, what kind of baby are you? Oh, I don't know. This is like a major existential trauma for a baby.
Someone gave us this baby book.
The exact moment she develops theory of mind, she's like looking at herself like, oh, no.
That is me. Someone gave us a book. It's like, If I Were a Unicorn, and it's got like different textures on each page. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there's curly mane and there's soft fur and, like, you know, pearly unicorn horn. Then at the last page, it's like, and if I were a unicorn in my magic garden, I'd spend time with a princess like you. And it's supposed to be a mirror. But the first time I read it, it was like just me. I was like, oh,
it's me.
It's me. Oh, that's nice. I wouldn't mind hanging with a unicorn.
You can't unless you're a virgin.
Really?
Yeah. Well, only virgins can ensnare a unicorn.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, we're pooped.
Yeah.
I mean, you made a baby.
Unicorns are still around. We just can't see the horn. I learned that in The Last Unicorn.
I also just watched that for the first time a couple weeks ago.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I picked it up on paperback.
Oh, it's a book, too. It's also a movie with Mia Farrow as the unicorn.
It was pretty good. Yeah, it's the Red Bull.
And like Juan Borgia. Sorry, that was a little aside about books we're reading right now.
What were you reading right now?
About the Borgias.
The mistress of Juan Borgia, Pope Alexander VI.
Sexy popes.
Sexy pope. Gross sexy pope.
Yeah, super gross.
Oh, yeah, they were all like killing each other.
He's the incest pope.
Oh, is he one of the whoremongers?
Yeah,
sure. Yes. Yeah, Pope Innocent.
Monging
16.
All those whores.
Mm-hmm. No, Pope Innocent had 16 children. He's not the 16th Pope Innocent. Not very innocent.
I really enjoy the ironic pope names.
Yes.
He's like, come on, Pope.
The hipster pope, his name's ironic.
Did you know in Spanish?
No, I promise you I didn't.
That we use the same word for potato, dad, and pope?
Yep. Il Papa?
Yeah, so it's impossible to accuse my dad of stealing the Pope's potato.
He would, though.
He would. Ricardo, that potato's not nailed down? He's taking it.
So you're the princess at the end of the story. And Izzy is toddling around the bed.
Yeah, so like I can't get up out of bed for like 2 days.
Right.
And it was awful because, you know, I felt like a ghost. Like I was just watching life happen around.
Difficultly.
It was very difficult. Like, for the first time in our apartment, it was actually convenient that the only washroom is off our bedroom as opposed to a hallway, as in most homes. Mm-hmm. So it took me about 6 steps to get to the toilet from my side of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
6 very long steps. It was not fun. But then, so every day I could move a little bit more. Then it was like, you know, I can get from the bed to the couch. And then I could get, like, around the block. And then I was going down to the beach to read and coming back. And, like, those were my days.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that was like a month, pretty much, just being off of work and being ready to move again. Like, they said I wasn't allowed to lift Izzy for 2 weeks, which was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was able to walk around and help a bit, but if she needed comforting or anything, like, I couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, everything comes back to her in terms of, like, when they found out that it's cancer, like, you think, like, I don't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I don't want to die for me. I don't want to die for her. Like I want to be around for her life so that she has a father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm able to support her and see that she can fulfill her dreams, whatever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the hardest part. So it was like it was a lot of crying. It was a lot of like real conversations. It was a very, very heavy time, which is why people don't like talking about it. It's very scary.
Well, that's why we like talking about it. It's because it's scary.
Yeah. You know, it's like these are conversations.
We're down with those kinds of conversations because life is very frightening and it's a little less scary if you talk about it openly.
Well, yeah. And it's weird because, like, during my whole time off, like, of all my friends, the only person who visited me was, like, a work friend, like, was a pal who I get along great with. He's like, he's one of those people that, like, if we met 10 years ago, I was like, we would be best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're both, you know, in our 30s and we have lives, so you can't hang out 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, he's the kind of nerd that's super into board games, and I'm, like, more into movies and video games, so it's, like, we overlap, but we're not, like, a complete circle. But he's really good at, like, banter and riffing. Very funny guy. Luke Brocky, what's up? Check him out.
Nice.
Good guy. Oh, his partner, she makes Spread'em.
What?
Spread'em, like the spreads.
What?
Like a
food spread.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that could have been
a
lot of things.
She makes spread them. She makes them spread.
The hand motion that you did looked like she was dealing cards.
Yeah, so I thought you were talking about tarot spreads or something, and then I realized that you meant, like, food spreads. Is it, like, vegan spreads or something?
It's a local kitchen. It's a local company.
Spread them.
Okay, here we go.
We need sponsorship from
them. I'm totally plugging them right now because they're the best.
Did they cure your cancer?
They cured my spirit.
Well, that's important.
So
just a spread for the soul.
Just spread for the soul. Spread it out.
Spread soup for the soul. Yeah, it's a Vancouver-based dips, spread, and fresh food mixes to brighten up your plates.
No, my plate is so dismal. It needs to be brightened.
Yeah, so look them up. Spreademkitchen.com.
Show me. That's a baby. That's your baby.
That's my baby.
Yeah, she's good.
But yeah, spreademkitchen.com. It's like real, real good stuff. Some all over
town. Okay. Cool. So Luke Brocky.
Yeah. Oh, they got the best. Cashew spreads. So good.
Okay.
So, like, he brought some over, actually. We got, like, edible arrangements. People were, like, sending us stuff. But of all my friends, he was the only one who actually visited me at my house. So people were, like, calling me. And, like, if...
I didn't know you had cancer.
Yeah, we kept it...
We only decided to be better friends after.
Yes.
So...
Which I appreciate.
Yeah. So, something happens again, please let me know. I will visit.
I will. Like, okay. I hope nothing happens.
Yeah, no.
But either way, visits are nice. we kept it under wraps because we didn't want a ton of people to know because we were completely in limbo. So,
And having people check in all the time on that stuff can be really extra stressful.
Yeah, because you have to retell the story every day. And,
yeah.
Like, and, like, just opening up that wound all the time as opposed to trying to, like, just live. So,
just keep living.
Just keep living, man. So, like, my for the most part, most of my friends that I grew up with or I went to college with, my formative years, like, it's like that Joel Plaskett song. Where did they go? Montreal, Toronto. Mm-hmm. So most of my close friends are not in town. And I do have good friends in town, but I don't see a ton of people mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm in my 30s and I have a kid and I'm married. So, like, life is different. And, you know, my friends in town, the ones who knew, like, just didn't see you. Didn't see them. They didn't stop by. It weirded them out too much, I guess. You know, like, so that was a very strange time. And I've talked to my counselor about that. Going to counselor now, that's neat.
Yeah, that's good.
It really helps.
Because you were saying, you know, that you were feeling kind of like a ghost. You were just, like, observing the way that your house was running. Like, no one was really interacting. Like, you just had to kind of be there. Yeah. There's not as much interaction. Like, that must be really
Yeah, like, outside isolating. Outside of Lauren, like, there was and there wasn't a lot of physical, like, proof that I existed for a while. I was like, this would be interesting to write about. Like, am I actually here? Mm-hmm. Did I die on the table?
That's supposed to be, like, really common. Like, after something like that happens, you, like, your brain will try to tell you that you didn't survive and this is, like, a messed up thing. Yeah, like, that's a pretty documented thing.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very trippy.
What a fucking
especially if you survive something where other people passed away, you think that, like, you're living in an alternate version of how things went.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's messed up. Like, close calls are they fuck with your head.
Yeah, like, well, it's like a survivor's guilt and different things.
Yeah,
like that.
Totally.
Yeah, so it was like, so trying to process all of that, getting through all of that, and so it was very heavy. And so now I'm waiting for, you know, my follow up because the biopsy is still happening. So now I'm just currently in between still.
Because mm-hmm, like you don't know if maybe there's still some extra
exactly
bonus yeah. cancer.
And the big thing that was like running through my head was. They were, because it grown so fast after I had found it. I was like, what if it's somewhere inside of me growing that fast? Like, that's what kept, was on loop in my head.
Yeah.
And then finally, we got a call. We went in for the meeting. And this was actually pretty cool. Because my oncologist, apparently one of the best at this, which is like, how'd you get best at it? Anyway, he's this German doctor named Dr. Kolmansberger. Super German, like very, very German. He's like, he's very, very expensive shoes, very expensive, like very expensive leather shoes that don't have a grip on the sole because it's leather sole and got a bald head, like very fancy glasses.
Fancy glasses.
It's a very, very fancy German doctor. He kept leaning against the counter and his shoes kept sliding out from under him because he has no grip, so he had to keep taking a step back and then you lean again.
It's fashion.
It's fashion. You have to understand. It's just, you wouldn't
Slippery
know.
Shoes, then make it fashion.
It's like, you're so colonial with your attitude. So, Lauren had to put more money in the meter, and we were waiting for him to come, and then he came in the room, and like, Lauren's not there, and I was like, oh, well, can you wait until she comes back before you tell me what you found? He's like, yeah, we can wait. He's like, hey, but here's something. Do you want to take part in an experiment? And I said, yes, before he said it. Because German doctor, experiment, that's how Captain America started. I was like, give me the serum. And then I was like, cool, what is it? And then he's like, oh, like, okay, let me tell you what it is. It's like, it's a gene tracking, so like they keep track of your like genetic markers to see if there's any sort of correlation between people who have relapses.
Mm-hmm.
So, disappointing.
No serum,
no superpowers. Well, I kind of did have got a superpower. I'll get into that in a second. Well, I'll get into it right now. So, like, so if you have, like, I've currently reduced the sensitivity in my weakest area by 50%.
Get kicked in the area.
You could miss
now.
Completely.
Yeah.
Like, if this was an RPG, that would be a huge stat bonus. like, you tell Superman, hey, Superman, you know kryptonite? Works half as good. And people are like, oh, okay, that's great. That is good. And so now, like, oh, these jokers walking around with two targets, not me.
Just one.
Just one, and where is it, right?
We'll never know which side it was.
Yeah, nobody knows. Could be on either side now. Also, super luxurious, because, like, the sack is the same size.
And so the remaining ball has like a 2-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, it's like a double wide.
Or it's like a hotel room where you have 2 beds, one's for eating, one's for sleeping.
It's like Kevin McAllister getting his own cheese pizza.
Get down on your knees and tell me you love me.
Keep the change, you filthy animal. That's actually what I say.
Come alone too, lost in New York.
That's actually what I say.
He's just looking at me quizzically. Because you cackled.
Angels with even dirtier souls. Yeah, keep the changes for the animals. That's what I said to that nurse when I left. Anyway.
The shitty one.
Yeah, shitty nurse. Keep the change. Yeah, so... what the hell was I talking about? Anyway, so yeah. Things are... I'm now impervious to pain.
Your experiment.
Yeah, the experiment was this gene tracking. So then the doctor, he's like, okay, Lauren came in. He's like, here's what it is. We got all of it. Clean borders.
Woo!
There's nothing else anywhere.
Woohoo.
So, that's best awesome. Possible outcome for this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, there is 50-50 chance that in the next 3 months, you will need to get chemotherapy. You'll need to get 3 rounds of chemo. That's 9 weeks. If anything starts to pop up. So here are your options. I could have either done 1 round of chemo then to reduce my chances to 5%. I could have gotten a very invasive surgery to get my lymph nodes removed from the back of my torso, which I would have been laid up for like 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have a kid, I'm not doing that. Or just wait 3 months and see if I need chemo. So for the 3 months after that surgery, so now it's like we're talking about like that was the end of June, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I went public with everybody. I was like, this is what happened with me. This is like...
How did you start? It was guess who has two thumbs.
Two thumbs and guess who has two thumbs and no cancer or something like that? I forget. Yeah. This guy.
It's, yeah.
I think it's the cancer anymore. Anyway, yeah, so like I went public with it, told everybody. And the main reason why we didn't tell a lot of people is because like my niece...
Mm.
Her mother died of cancer 2 years ago. I didn't want her to find out and start worrying about it because she's, you know, like a young teen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like not things she needs to worry about. You know, I don't want her to have to process that. Her favorite uncle, on the record, she has said it.
If you weren't, you would have to feel pretty bad about that because, like, you're a young, cool uncle. You're a funkle.
I am the funkle.
So if you weren't the favorite, step up your fucking game, Steve. Well,
I did take her to the Rick and Morty studios here in Vancouver.
Oh, you have to be very intelligent to understand Rick and Morty.
Yeah, like it shows. Like she's
high IQ.
She's a brilliant child. You can tell. But like all of her uncles in Saskatchewan.
I see why you're the favorite now.
Set the bar high. I didn't want people to worry about it who I couldn't really give them any definite answers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then we went public with that. And so for 3 months, I was living with kind of like the Damocles sword above my head. Could go either way. Mm-hmm. Although that's actually the wrong reference to make because that's about like, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't have said Damocles sword. Sorry, everyone.
Heavy is the nard that has the cancer.
There it is.
And it was significantly heavier, yeah.
Like, oh, that can't, that nard swung low.
If you got a heavy ball, there's a guy you gotta call.
It's a doctor.
Call him up.
So I got back to work, like, after I got the all clear. I took another week off, because I had, like, you know.
Because why not? You had cancer. Take the time.
Get my head straight. I had a ton of time with like, you know, you're sickly. I think like 70 days at full mm-hmm. coverage. And then after that, it goes to like 50. So,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to take the whole 70 because I didn't know if it resets if I needed to like get chemo or mm-hmm. if it would just be like dipping into the same leave kind of thing. So I went back to work. And during this time, like still on keto, still doing keto. So looking pretty shredded. I've been outside a lot in the last month reading books.
Right.
So.
You look great.
Yeah, I look great. Got a tan, lost weight. Get back to work. People are like, hey, you've been on vacation. What's going on? How you been? Looking good. I'm like, oh, yeah, I had some cancer. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, a little bit of cancer. Secret of cancer. Yeah, I had cancer. Cancer Steve right here. What's going on? So then really threw people off. So people didn't really know how to treat me. Didn't know how to treat me because I looked fine. Then, I was did the keto thing for another 3 months just in case anything happened. And then I got like the all clear the second time.
Yay, nice. Yeah, yay, congrats. Took a chance, came through.
Yeah, so, you know, don't eat chemo. I do need to check in every 3 months for, like, the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
My chances of needing chemo is reduced significantly.
Great.
So, so that's where I am now. Like, it's nice. Like I'm, you know, in the survivor column. We're still watching it. But, yeah, this was, like, it was a really bad 6 months. It was no fun at all.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because that happened... It makes exaggerating about anything great. Like, if I spill my coffee, I can say something like, this is the worst thing to happen to me in 7 months. And people are like, really? Like, yeah, the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. But yeah, so now, like, I've been on I was taking a break from comedy at the time. I did a comedy show the day before I was told I had cancer. Like, I actually did the sonogram the day, like the afternoon, and then had a comedy show the evening. And so, like, I haven't done stand-up since then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Was that the Cinco de Mayo show, or?
No, it was the Rise of the Comic show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you can see that, if you watch that, which might color the way you're perceiving it, I'm able to compartmentalize so well. Mm. I'm doing that set with a very swollen and cancerous testicle. Delivering some B-plus material. The first time I did stand-up in a t-shirt. If you go back.
Oh, really? Yeah, I come to think of it, I don't often see your arms.
It's usually in button-ups, mm-hmm. cardigans, yep. hoodies. Yep. First time in a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Momentous.
Won't do it in shorts.
Never do it in shorts.
Nobody does it in shorts.
It's first rule.
I honestly love it when people do stand-up in shorts, because people get so mad about it, and I'm like, fucking cry about it. Who cares? You saw their legs.
No one needs to see your knees.
Whoopty freaking do.
I think it'd be, well, I can't do stand-up in shorts for a few reasons. One, it's against the law.
The rules are clear.
The laws of comedy. And two is, like, I got a ton of tattoos.
Yeah, and we'll just look at them.
Yeah, it'd be very distracting, and it sort of takes away from, like, my cute dad, like atmosphere about me. Like, oh, I'm this new dad. Doo-doo-doo. And then, like, what's with the skull tattoo on your thigh? I wear very short shorts.
Super short shorts. little booty shorts. Looks good. I mean, they're mighty fine legs, so.
Oh, you know, I try.
Yeah.
You know, keto, clean living.
Clean living.
Yes. Are you still, you're not super keto because you ate one of those tarts that I made downstairs. Oh, yeah.
Like, they had beans in them. When I got the all clear, like, the first thing we did was order a large pizza.
Nice.
And it's like, because we were doing these weird, like, cheese-based crust pizza things, and, like, they, you know, you can...
Cauliflower crusts and things.
Cauliflower just needs to be cauliflower, you know? Yeah. It's like, they're trying to make cauliflower everything else.
Yeah.
And it's like, whenever you use cauliflower as a substitute, you're like, whoa, you know, it's almost as good. You know, like, no. Just cook cauliflower as cauliflower. Like, do we have too much cauliflower in the world? Is big cauliflower pushing all these riced cauliflower recipes on us? I don't like cauliflower. I've been eating a lot of cauliflower.
I love cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
It has no meaning anymore. Like,
I don't want a vegetable that looks like it has albinism.
Yeah.
It looks like it grew in a cave next to blind fish.
It looks and smells and is as welcome as a fart. Like, it just looks like a fart. Yeah. It looks like a cartoon fart and it smells like it.
Cauliflower looks like broccoli saw a ghost.
Isn't that on Parks and Recreation? It's like, oh, look at this little tree. I wonder if you can eat it. Oh no, this one died.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, I missed carbs so much, and now I'm just... Now I'm in this weird place where, like, technically I could be able to exercise again. I haven't been. It's just hard to really get you back in the swing of it. Mm-hmm. I got a kid. You know, I get up, I try to do dishes and chores and such. And so, yeah, I'm softening currently. I'm really,
physically?
Physically.
Emotionally. Working on that dad bod.
Yeah, it's. I was doing a great job of not getting it for a while. And I have this shirt, this is dad bod, that was ironic. It is no longer ironic.
It's still pretty ironic.
Yeah, right.
I'm still looking pretty good there, Steve.
Well, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I don't clean live, so I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
I will never live cleanly. I'm going to live dirty for my whole life.
Yeah,
basically. Always be rad and dirty.
Living dirty, rad and dirty.
Living dirty, rad and dirty, having a good time.
I was trying to make a chameleonaire reference the other day, but then I realized it was like 7 years too late.
Yeah. Nobody knows what chameleonaire is now. Like, thousandaire.
Someday.
Living on RRSPs. Cashing in his 401k.
Can't even afford a house in Vancouver.
You couldn't even if you were a chameleonaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like, so that was like the cancer year. Like, that's been
the year of cancer.
Super like, intense. Yeah, it puts everything's on hold and like everything gets stopped. And then like we were looking at moving to New West at the time that we had to like put that in the back burner. And then you get back into it. You're sort of coming back into your life. Like, the last, after I didn't need told I didn't need chemo, like, that's when it's like, all right, now we're back.
Now we can move forward.
Move mm-hmm. forward. And they're just, everything that annoyed you, you forget about. Like, minor grievances, don't even care about for 6 months. And then they come back and it's like, you know what? I still hate them. They're the worst.
You still hate that nurse guy, because, yeah.
He's still awful.
He took up a big part of this narrative.
Certain neighbors don't like them. I was putting up with them, but now I'm like, you know what? You're back on the list.
the shit list.
Now I don't have to worry about this major monumental thing. Now I can just go back to being petty again.
Oh, it's great. And also, everyone has to be nice to me because it's like, hey.
I had cancer.
I had cancer?
And I really don't appreciate this right now. Like,
oh, man.
I came out here to have a good time. I had cancer. And I'm feeling so attacked right now. By the way, had cancer.
It's like, I have a 14-month-old daughter, and I had cancer. Like, I actually used that in a meeting at work.
Were you trying to get out of the meeting?
I was trying to, so, like, they're talking about, like, we just move shifts with everything because, you know, I work in TV news. Mm-hmm. And although these are very honest and valid points, and I mean them sincerely, but to put them so bluntly in a meeting, like, it's just really funny because all my friends, my coworkers are like, they don't have a card to play like that. Because they were talking about, like, shifts, and people are like, oh, I don't want to work late. If I have to work late, it's going to be off. I'm going to be out at, like, 11. And I'm like, well, I'm not working past 6. I do not work past 6. That's on my rider. Holy brown M&Ms. Don't work past 6.
I went to that walk-in clinic, and I got another note that says I'm not allowed to walk past 6 o'clock. You can get those.
It's like, it's right here. But so I was meeting some, like, bosses from Toronto, and I was like, they're like, so, you know, what? How do you see things happening when we start the new shows? And I was like, well, you know, I'm fine doing whatever as long as I don't work past 6. Here's my story. And then they're like,
This man does not work past 6.
Like, oh, yeah, we can accommodate that. Don't you worry. So
let's give the man some free money.
He's like, please, have a raise. I'm like, yes, please. And thank you.
Gracias.
As we say in my country, yes, I will take the money.
Your country being Canada.
Being Canada.
Where you were born.
Where I was born. Yes. Born in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, like, because I, you know, I work for the national broadcaster, and this is all public stuff, so I'm not, like, you know, spilling any beans. But I was in a GIF for Shakeout BC.
Okay.
You know, like, he was like, get ready for an earthquake drill, so everybody has to drop under their desks.
Which nobody actually
I had to
does.
Do that. We went under our desks.
We never do it.
I was in the BC legislature in Victoria during the big shakeout, and I got under the best desk ever. It was extremely solid.
It's like a $15,000 desk.
If it was a real earthquake, I would have been totally fine, because it was, like, solid as
fuck. It was made out of one piece of Douglas fir. Yeah. One single tree made that entire row of
Paul Bunyan made it for you. Mm-hmm. He's an American hero, but he came up here just to make the legislature furniture.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Italian chef hands. Mwah.
Chef at Kissy Fingers.
Mwah, it's delicious.
Chef Kissy Fingers, the finest chef that there was.
He studied under Chef Boyardee.
I thought his last name was Yardy.
Boy,
like Yardy. Chef Boy, Yardy. Like, that's what I thought was divided.
Lil Yardy, that's a new rapper.
So we were in... they set up a camera in the newsroom, and then, like, we did the drill, and everybody, it was, like, right next to my desk. I'm right front and center. So everyone is dropping. I'm under my desk. Everyone else drops under their desk. Everybody gets up. I get up last because I was actually trying to play, I didn't know how long we were going to be under there, and I just started my Game Boy. I was like, all right, I'm going to play some Mario Kart. But then it was, like, only 30 seconds. So then I had to pop back up. So we put it online, and someone said, like, looks like only immigrants in this photo. Racist CBC? Question mark?
Wow.
And then I'm like, first complimented. I'm like, oh, yeah, I look like an immigrant. I'm only half immigrant. The other half is refugee. And then I was like, well, you know, the facial hair does make me look. Like, I didn't grow the facial hair to look more Hispanic. That's just a bonus.
Yeah. It just happens to make you look way more Hispanic. Like,
without.
Which doesn't that just mean Spanish speaking?
It does.
Yeah.
It's not a race, it's a culture.
Yeah.
As my mother says. But in a way, it is.
It does make you look more cultured.
It makes me look cultured, like a bacteria.
Sure, yeah, like a good, make you poop yogurt.
Like I live in a petri dish.
Yeah.
I look like Jamie Lee Curtis's yogurt.
Yes, exactly. And I've always thought that about you.
You know, I try. It's clean living.
Clean. Okay. Are we done? That felt like a done.
Yeah.
Clean living. We're really glad that you're doing well.
It's probably because of all that clean living.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying. Like, it's been an experience. I'm happy to be on the other side of things, and like it's been something. Mm-hmm. And you know, go to the doctor. Something feels wrong, just do it. Especially fellas, like I know it's embarrassing because like the people who have seen my junk in the last 6 months has like maybe quadrupled.
The amount of people
who have seen my junk. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I didn't expect this many men to have seen my wiener in my life. Like that's fine. They're all professionals, except that one guy, I don't
never,
know about
he
him.
He never got to see your wiener, though.
No, well, he did. And he didn't ask.
He just wanted to see it.
He was just walking by.
just to satisfy my curiosity.
I was like, oh, hey. Oh, wait, you're not a doctor?
This is a guy.
He's some
valet.
He's a valet at Nordstrom. Yeah, so like it's it's awkward, it's embarrassing, but so is life. And if you want to keep living, like, you just got to do these things. So
people have to go inside of our bodies to check that we don't have cancer. So, like, go get your balls felt. Fuck's sakes.
It's like the least intrusive thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when you finally get that that you get your butt checked, you can do stand up comedy about it forever.
Oh, you mean when I get my butt checked, or the next time I get my butt checked? Because that's another story.
And we'll do that episode too.
Okay, thanks for coming, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
Yay! We'll see you guys. We were gonna do something maybe kind of spooky because this is coming out on Halloween.
Wait, ooh, isn't it coming out on Tuesday?
Hello Tuesday.
Oh yeah, that's not for another week.
Ooh, we're spooky early.
Early spooky. Okay, great. Maybe we'll do something spooky. Who cares? Bye.
Bye.